Your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Networks.
Yawning this morning and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. I have a little frog in my throat. I was out late last night picking cherries, Mr. Palmer, and I may have picked a frog by accident and I have not been able to dislodge it. It's the most wonderful time of the year, people. Mangoes are on the ground.
My first avocado off my tree. It is an outlier. All the rest of them are like 2 inches, but I got one 5 inches and I'm eating it.
That's but you're not eating it right now.
No.
Listen, there are many ways to start a fight in the Bahamas, across the globe, in the universe. There's many ways, right? Some people mm-hmm. just pull out one lightsaber in the water and start. Mr. Palmer, you have an avocado on your tree already?
I picked it. It is in my fridge.
It's no longer on your tree.
Half of it is in my belly.
That's something, eh?
But this year is going to be good. I have plenty of avocados, plenty of mangoes, plenty of guavas.
Are your trees shaded or hidden from the wind? Have your trees been able to escape mm-hmm. the tremendous wind gusts mm-hmm. we've experienced this year?
I mean, they are dropping fruit, but there's still a tremendous amount left on, yeah.
Oh, wow.
So I'm very excited about this year.
Do you do a good job of cultivating, fertilizing and managing
watering them as well and talking to them?
That's most important.
As your boy, you know, King Charles, that's what he does. He talks to his plants. I talk to my trees. I tell you the story, right, about the avocado that wouldn't bear fruit, right?
The avocado.
The winter
tree.
One, yeah. I came out with my axe and I said, this is what's going to happen next year if you let me down this Christmas. And guess what? First time mm-hmm. ever I had 200 avocados on that tree.
I mean, I say I don't believe
Ask my wife.
What I mean is, did you just talk to the tree or mm-hmm. did you top the tree with the axe? I'm not saying you cut the tree with the axe, but did you top the tree with the axe? Did you apply a bit of corporal punishment, Mr. Palmer, to the tree?
No, you know me, I wouldn't do that.
You just talk to it hard?
Just talk,
nicely?
I stood there for a while. I stood there nicely. I said, listen, you know, we're friends, but, you know, friendships have to end eventually.
Did you cut your eye at the tree while you were saying it?
No, I didn't.
Good.
He or she understood, though.
Because there's tough love, and then there's, I don't know what this is.
I know what this is leading to, right? I know this is leading to.
Good morning, Mr. Newry.
Good yawning this morning.
I hear there's a massive alert was sent out yesterday from Fox Hill community.
Regarding what?
Mangoes on the ground.
Mangoes are in Fox Hill now. If you wish, you could drive on that main road, Fox Hill, and all the vendors are selling mangolas. Not no hairy mango, no. I talk about mangola.
Okay, two things. First of all, the hairy mango is the best mango.
They're sweet,
to
right?
Do
sweet.
No,
to,
man.
First of all,
you
first of
ever
all,
had a big mangola just leaking all over your clothes?
Listen, there's some farmers in North Eleuthera that grow in mangoes that are like 3 to 5 pounds a piece.
Mm-hmm.
I know what you're talking about,
mm-hmm.
but still, despite the aesthetic, the hairy mango is the best mango for multiple reasons.
Mm.
Therapeutic, aesthetic, and belly wise. I think that's the most appropriate.
I don't like that
criteria.
Stuff that being left in my mouth. I don't like that hairy mango.
You don't like a self-cleaning mango.
That's a flossing.
That's flossing.
That's flossing. That's called a self-cleaning mango.
Keep that.
Responsible for healthy dental statistics throughout the community of Fox Hill.
I like my mango that you're able to cut it with a knife.
You can cut a hairy mango with a knife.
Yeah.
Your knife's just not sharp enough.
Yeah, okay.
Is your knife as sharp as a Fox Hill woman tongue?
No.
Well, there you go.
I see that now.
You can't cut it, but hairy mango is the best mango.
Okay.
It's best for production. You're going to get the nice bright yellow or close to orange color.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to get lots of flavor.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, for people who are producers, the hairy mango is the mango that you want. You're going to get possibly the most consistent, and we tend to overwater them. They don't need as much water as you think they need to produce the Bahamian signature flavor, which is an amazing blend of sweet and tang, sweet and tart.
What I also noticed that
that's true.
For culturally, Bahamians don't know the different variations of mangoes. We call everything either hairy mango or mangola.
Yeah. Do you wake on the plantation or you enjoy the plantation?
Yeah.
You get the Waker mango or you get the tourist mango?
Yeah.
Right? Are you referring to the Hayden?
Hayden mango, the Haitian mango.
Valencia Pride.
Yes,
listen,
no.
Okay.
Indian mango.
I'm going to say two words. I mean, maybe more than two words.
Mm-hmm.
Lemon meringue.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all ever had one of them mangoes? Mm-hmm. Lemon meringue mangoes?
Oh, I've had a lemon meringue.
And Bombay.
Oh, yeah, the Indian mango there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I would say good morning to Mr. Knowles.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe our friendship is, what's the word, Cecil, you the poet, is we've drifted apart over the months between mango seasons.
I understand.
But I would like to call back to you, sir, and say, I miss you.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And this gentleman, anyway, the mangoes are divine. I've never considered a life a crime, except somebody asked me to run for party. But other than that, I never considered life a crime until I tasted this gentleman's mangoes.
Nice.
I mean, national security level nice.
Yeah, I need to start rekindling my family kingship with the male stem again. Let them know it's mango season.
Yeah.
You know, send me something free.
I had the pleasure of meeting Mr. Eric Darvill before he passed away.
Mm-hmm.
And he was very gracious. Like, when you talked about... who was it who said he's up reading his plant, talking to his plants?
King Charles
every morning. George Washington Carver had
a
billion inventions. Mm-hmm. Said that he got all of his ideas because he would be up at 4:30 in the morning talking to his plants. And it's like God, he's basically saying it's like God is communing with him through the plants, right? And sharing information.
Let the Christian Council hear that. They might get a little upset with that.
No, man. Christian Council more savvy than that. First of all, Christian Council is a political lobby organization. They ain't not into people who talk to God through plants or other living things, even though God said, all these things are my things. I make them, and I am within them. That's not the point.
Yep.
Somebody say, CA, it's only two mango.
Two mangoes. Harry and Mangola.
That's Harry. It.
Yeah.
I can't wait to see what mango I have the opportunity to taste this year.
Mm-hmm. Well, I didn't taste six. Let's let you know.
Hold on. Different variety?
No. These are the in-between mangolas. You know when the small ones with the big seed would taste like the big mangola?
Yeah.
So I had them, and then I had one or two mangolas.
I like the big one with the small seed.
So you think
that you ain't going to get a lot of mango when
mango.
You get inside there? It's just mango. Mm-hmm. Anyway, gentlemen, I want to point out something very important. Considering today is supposed to be Conspiracy Tuesday.
Yes.
Ooh. I noticed that both of y'all came in here charming me about all the wonderful fruit that you have in your yard.
Foxes in bloom. Foxes is in bloom.
Mm-hmm. I have dilly in my yard. But I also have a raccoon in my yard.
Okay.
Ooh,
I understand. Yeah. You've bitten dilly.
Yeah. Every once in a while, I am able. Yeah. I got cherry, passion fruit, mango, dilly, all blooming, all I'm fruiting right now. And I added a mulberry, a breadfruit, a tamarind, and a couple of aki.
Nice. Aki too?
And a couple of other mango varieties we've been propagating for a while in pots.
Okay.
Hoping that in the next 6 to 7 years, we're going to see some nice fruit coming off those trees.
I know we got about to change topic about the conspiracy right now, but I just want to recognize Fox Hill as a village, right?
Yeah.
And the need and the excitement to see that we have fruit vendors on the side of the road still. And I'm not sure if that exists in other villages in New Providence.
And selling predominantly local fruit.
And local fruits that's grown in people's backyard.
Yeah. Tamarind as well is on the ground.
Tamarind is on the ground. Dilly is on the ground.
Yeah.
You know,
papaya, breadfruit.
And if you go to Fox and meander through the side streets, you see people selling wares from out of their backyard. Mm-hmm. And that's something to celebrate, something that is Bahamiano, and something that all Bahamians need to come and enjoy and walk through and say, hey, this is how I used to live 20, 30, 40 years ago, and something that we should continue to celebrate. In fact, I believe our government needs to help these vendors and make a makeshift what do you call those things? Verandas type thing.
Yeah.
Painted pastel colors.
With all the hinges so they could just fold down and be stored somewhere when necessary.
Yes.
Yeah, man.
Yes.
In fact, I want to tie that to the conversation when we sort of circle back to it. Because today we are talking, I wanted to talk about the Bahama Games again.
Okay.
But only briefly. Yeah. And then we're going to talk about this article, Resolution on Human Rights Committee passes in the House from the 27th of April. But what I want to draw back to is the consideration of what are human rights and how do we enjoy them, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the idea of the Fox Hill Village as a model, right? And some people are going to say, hey, it's 2023. I ain't into living in any village, right? But there are people who are like, listen, I know that you want to sort of be on the cutting edge with the rest of the world, but we have a right to retain or maintain parts of our culture, you know? And so I want to bring that into the sort of the human rights discussion in a second. I've got two quick housekeeping notices, and I guess I am 20 minutes late with the first one. Organization for Responsible Government is actively, right now, today, from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m., holding a free training for NPO leaders on collaborative fundraising, including exclusive dialogue with local funders.
And I was going to let you just comment on that, but I need you to explain why this is important so the listening audience could appreciate it and then run and go take advantage of it. So I just want you to do that for me.
Well, because first of all, no organization can run without resources, right?
Mm-hmm.
Nonprofit organizations have kind of been hampered by the restrictions on how these types of organizations can operate with money, and they essentially rely on the support of donors. For many organizations, they're part of networks, and they can only take funding from particular donors. So a lot of NGO, nonprofit activity has been hampered by the inability to access funding. Part of that is also because many of these organizations are limited in their capacity, and it's difficult to do the work and do the work of finding money to support the work, right? And then documenting your source of the work in a KYC, know your customer jurisdiction like our own. And so this is an excellent opportunity. I can't tell y'all how hard it is to sit face to face with people who have money and are willing to give it away. I can't tell you how hard it is to identify those people. So what org is providing today is they are connecting you with donors who are prepared to do work or support the work in the fields that you're working in. Second of all, you're getting face-to-face with them. You know, gatekeepers, no panels, no shortlists. You're getting face-to-face. And
So what I like about this? This is a form of cohort training that they're doing a pilot on. And what they do is they get they take a group of nonprofits. So anyone listening who has a nonprofit, it's still not too late.
Yeah, because it's running from today until 3 p.m.
But also they have some more. They have about another three or four as a series. And one of the values of that, because I've attended a few of them, is that you make instant connections with other nonprofits, and there's potential for partnership and sharing resources.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, they learn a different thing in each of those sessions.
Is a Singing Prophet a nonprofit organization?
Yes.
You always short of money.
Singing Prophet, I'm going to need you and a couple of your team members to head out to the American
corner.
It's
like an emergency for them, eh?
But listen, if you, and this is great, Cece, I'm glad you raised that. If you know the Singing Prophet and you could facilitate him getting to that session today. Like you say, it's not just the connection with the donors, because I think the local donors understand the importance of what it is he's trying to do. But really, I think the key is to partner with organizations that can support the work that he
Well, I'll give you an example. The first one I went to, there were two people from feeding organizations doing similar stuff, and suddenly they're sitting in the same room. They hadn't really had a chance to talk to each other. You know, you're busy running your program, and there was an instant connection. So, like, how can we work together? What are you doing? How can we, you know, so we're not kind of, you know, operating A in silos or B cannibalizing each other. You know, let's share those resources and stuff. And so, very valuable work.
I like umbrella organizations, groups that are organizing mm-hmm. around the interests and the work that they focus on. But look here, small organizations, get out to the session and see if y'all could organize in funding blocks, right? Mm-hmm. Like your work may not be similar, but the parameters for funding or the criteria for funding may be, you know, that you fit may be similar. And go out there, talk to other organizations and see how you can best partner with each other. That's today at the American Corner at the Harry Seymour Library at UB, 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. all day.
And lunch included.
Hold on. Did you say lunch included? Like free?
Telling you.
Free training, free lunch?
They have the lunch in the part of the university where they do the hospitality training.
Yeah, yeah.
And the food is amazing.
Yeah. Hold on, wait. Not just free food.
Proper food.
From the premier culinary stakeholders in the country.
There's something to go to. There's something to attend.
Now, but when you get your bellies full and your brains full, your bellies and your brains full, and your notebook, starting Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, Bai Sung Institute is hosting a Kung Fu seminar. This is what I'm excited about. Concepts of Fighting Methods of the Impulse Defense. Now, I'm not sure what that means, but I got a hot temper, impulsive bad. And I need to, sometimes I put myself in situations.
I've been in a car with Aaron. I know what that looks like.
Yes.
The question is, did you get out the car safely, unbruised, unencumbered, unaccidented?
Yes, ma'am. Yeah.
Yes, good. That's the most important part. Sometimes you don't understand what this impulse defensive driving is about. Anyway, starting on Thursday, 7:30 p.m. to 9:30 p.m., the session, first session. Friday the 12th, 7:30 to 9 p.m., 9:30 p.m., second session. Saturday the 13th, 10 a.m. to 12 noon. And this is at the New Providence Martial Arts Center, Shirley Street, and I think that's run by the Bai Sung Institute. Now, listen, my foot, a little, y'all know, so I have on two different shoes, right? They require different tensions and things. I really want to go to this thing, you know, but my foot not going to let me. Because I'm Bahamian, Bahama Games, I still have enough time.
Yes, you have enough time.
I have enough time to qualify.
Yeah.
I don't know if I have enough to qualify, but to outfit myself and be out there.
Go and swim in. Do swimming.
No, sir.
No?
I could swim. I'm an ocean free floating champion. I've accomplished my aquatic goals.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I want to do Bahamian martial arts. Karokin, Kabodalin, and Dashin.
Kabodal.
And Dashin. They're my favorites.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I hope that you guys tune in. This is a great space for young people. I know it's a little late, 7:30 to 9:30 p.m., but it's a great space for young people that are trying, you know, that are working on their personal development, maybe on self-control, discipline, maybe just high performers that want something, you know, need something else to do to occupy their brains. We'd be surprised. Some of our young people could be the MIT at 14, could be the Princeton at 12. We just don't necessarily have the resources for them.
Yeah, it's good for teaching discipline, you know, discipline, respect. I did karate when I was a kid, and I think it's a great thing. To learn, give you confidence as well.
It teaches, right, about centering yourself, understanding your core, understanding how to create stability, right?
Mm-hmm. It's not about fighting.
At all. No, it's about spatial awareness. It's about empathy. It's about critical thinking. Anyway, I got a text here. That was exciting. I got a text here saying coconut cream mango, little gem mango, Kent mango, ice cream mango, Julie, are all varieties of mangoes. Yes, Texter.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I know somebody with a Julie tree. I almost G.I. Jane my way into the yard 2 days ago, but I have manners.
So what are you doing picking cherries at night? So what does that entail?
I have patrols.
You could climb over people's yard?
No, in my own yard. I'm not licensed for nighttime thieveries.
Actually, yeah, looking at your foot.
So I got this text here that says they are advertising the Bahama Games with the website for days now, and the website is down. They're sending you to a site that doesn't exist. My people, why can't we get the small things correct?
Lord.
Okay, Texter.
Back to junk and all over again.
Yeah, there's some more. There's definitely a lot more organizing to take place. I will say this, though, that in my notes that I prepared for yesterday's show, I did have the question, where have you seen or heard advertising for the Bahama Games? And I will say, though, Guardian is running ads. Finally, because I got some big questions right? I wanted to take quotes from the article, but the questions are, is 58 days sufficient time? We have 58 days left between now and the Bahama Games. I want to know, are we too far in? Is it too late to cancel
the game? It is too late to cancel the game.
I can be honest with you. I saw images from a gymnasium that was constructed, I think, in Central Andres for preparation for the games of various sports. And I was impressed by the quality of the work. But that still doesn't mean that it's too late to cancel the games.
It's too late to cancel the games.
Is it too late to postpone the games?
It is. Okay. I could yield there.
Let me tell you why. I'm going to read from the article, Reverend Thompson takes over as chairman of Bahama Games, right? This is from the 3rd of May. Now, Reverend Thompson he's a former permanent secretary. He has worked extensively with prior games, right? And he has worked, sat with the organizing committees for CORIFTA, the most recent CORIFTA, right? So this gentleman has an impressive resume for the task at hand. Yeah. That's not the question, whether he can lead the games to a success. The question is whether we have the right conditions, right? Like this far in, are we going, or do we have the ability to put on a successful games? First thing he says is, I'm working with the executive committee and we have a general government agency that we are working together with to make sure the Bahama Games is all inclusive for all Bahamians. When I hear that, I panic, right? What is a general government agency? I ain't never ever heard anybody reference anything like that in my life. What's a general government agency? Are you working with the Ministry of Youth, Sports and Culture? Are you working with the Ministry of Tourism, Investments, and Aviation, right? To make sure, what does inclusive for all Bahamians mean? Are you going to ensure that there's mobility, visual, and hearing accessibility? Are public transportation routes added so more people could get to the games? And how are you going to make it more accessible for Family Island residents, right? So when you say you're working with this general government agency, is it the agency responsible for Bahamas Air and people who fly people to New Providence? Because how else are people going to get to the games? Mail boat?
It's a massive undertaking. You've got all the logistics.
And I hear you, Aaron. And the issue here is communication or lack thereof.
Yeah.
I don't know the logistics on if the team is going to fly from Andres, Acklands to New Providence or to Andres, do they need to contribute? Is there a place for them to stay?
You're absolutely right.
I don't know any of that. Will they need to have money for spending money to buy their own food? I do not know this narrative as yet. I know that it's going to be games. I kind of know where it's going to be. This knowledge of you saying it's going to be in Andres.
No. I'm not saying it's going to be in Andres. They prepared the gyms for the teams to prepare for the games.
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
That was new to me. I didn't know.
Right, and then the gym could be used for other activities, which is why I'm saying we don't have to cancel it, but maybe we need to postpone it, right? And what's the coverage of the games going to be like? Are we going to have another lack of clarity situation on who has the rights to broadcast the games? ZNS, Cable Bahamas, ITV, Island Luck TV, online? How are people going to watch the games? Will it be accessible to people who can't get out to the games? And what about people living abroad? Another quick quote from the article, Reverend Thompson takes over as chairman of Bahama Games. The Games Secretariat is ensuring that the funding is adequately distributed before the end of the week. That's last week. Quote, we also want to encourage the island councils to seek some additional funding to support their campaign to get their teams ready for the games.
What? I'm sorry.
He said the government is committed to providing the funding that has been allocated to the island councils. We hope that they can get that funding from the government this week so that they can jumpstart their drive to get their teams ready. I am panicking.
That is kind of concerning. The verbiage just now is not confidence at all.
And what I'm saying is this gentleman is a PS, and so I'm sure that
he doesn't say will.
He was measured with his words. I was going to ask, are we talking about the final tranche of funding, right? Like the final portion of the funding. But he says so that they can jumpstart their drive to get their teams ready which means, I mean, one of two things. Either they started and they were dead and they just dead in the water, or this is the first series of funds that they're getting.
Aaron, it's PR speak. You know, the way these things are drafted, they're very carefully drafted.
Yeah.
You know, they could be drafted differently, but they're drafted in a way that it makes it look like things are happening, but without an actual, you know, there's a commitment to make something happen.
Mr. Newell,
right? Very different to making it happen, right?
You think we're talking about yesterday's story?
Yeah.
I got to invite you.
I used to
join
be in PR. I know how it's spinning. Basically,
listen,
people who are experts at spinning this to make it look good. Because if you read that quickly, sounds everything cool, right?
Yeah.
But then when you're looking at it, mm-hmm. right, and you're saying, "Oh, hang on, slow down, read me those words again. Mm-hmm. What do they actually mean?"
Yeah. Now, my question to both of you, right? Should Bohemians complain? Should we agitate or demand more information? And see,
okay. Let me set you up.
Right? You know, there's a narrative that Bohemians complain too much.
Yeah.
That we always find things to be critical about.
Uh-huh.
This is a celebration of us. We have in the Bahama Games to celebrate us. All aspects of the Bahamas, all family islands would be participating. My issue is, why complain? Should we complain? Should we demand more? Despite the celebration of
Okay,
us.
So I'm not complaining. I am hopefully also presenting solutions in the critique, right? But more importantly, it's less about the games and more about having conversations so that we understand what it is that's being presented to us and we understand what it is we're reading. And then we understand the best spaces with, you know, that we could fit in and devise solutions. Right. And so I'm coming to you in a moment, caller. Let me just read this. One of my concerns as well is this. Why are island councils required to seek additional funding? Why didn't the executive committee, the whatever general government agency we're working with, sit with the island councils and facilitate partnerships with island, with regional, right, like island, district and nationwide sponsors? To support, like, the team logos, the teams should have, like, so-and-so, Pinda's softball team, with island businesses supporting the teams. Let me go to this caller. Good morning, caller. You're on the clock.
Good morning, Irene Green. Good morning to your panel.
Good morning. How you doing?
I'm doing well. I don't think we should postpone the game. If I'm getting postponed so long from the corona.
Uh-huh.
So I think we should
just push forward with it.
COVID, local Olympic, I call it.
Yeah, absolutely.
So you're saying postpone?
Absolutely. Now let me ask you a question.
Before you get to the question, one of our friends, Zelenes, have to cover it because Zelenes is a national voice.
I mean, that's what they said about Grifter.
You know, Zelenes on both cable.
Yeah, man.
On BTC and Still Bahamas.
Mm-hmm.
So Zenith would have to cover it. The other station is not on both cable. RTV is not on BTC. I don't know why, but it's not on BTC.
I got you.
Right. We just got to ask, you know.
So July 6th to the 14th is quickly approaching. Have you heard any indication that activities and competition has been organized for Special Olympians? And for people who have physical or intellectual disabilities but can still compete at competitive and professional levels. And if they haven't made space for those activities, how do you feel as an advocate for people living with mobility challenges and intellectual disabilities?
No, I haven't heard anything yet. And that's it. You are a good human rights advocate.
Yeah.
But there's two areas. There's Special Olympic and there's physically challenged called Power Olympic.
Yeah.
The Olympic.
Power. P-A-R-A and then Special Olympics. I know.
Right, yeah.
But I'm asking you.
I answer your question. I haven't heard anything yet.
Right. I say postpone it until you adequately accommodate.
I don't think that should be hard to come. Yeah, that will be hard because they haven't arranged any. Well, We don't, see, to be honest with you, we don't have only Special Olympic has a power, has a sports program. The Power Olympic, which is a physically challenged person, don't have a sports program. Tony Craig used to lead that.
But they train
a long time ago, but we don't have it right now.
But I'm sure there's some para athletes that have been training on their own, training in other countries.
I don't know. Do you know of any?
The only para athlete I knew who was training for international competition was Aaron Brown.
Well, that's international competition. What you training for? For Hamilton. She's the one you should be in white.
You called me Pumpkin Eater.
No, that's it. I just recommend that you. No, sorry, I should use the word recommend.
No, I got you, Pumpkin Eater.
That you in white are.
I just saying. I think that the lack of inclusion of members of the country who have proven their capacity to perform warrants postponing.
Yeah, and I blame this on the advocate groups, and you brought up a good thing, because we have a national council. If it was well suited and properly put in place, which they don't have a vision, which I have a vision for, this would have, they would have sit down with the minister and set the way forward.
Absolutely. Pumpkin Eater, thank you.
Well, thanks for mentioning it, and thanks for letting the public know that, and also letting the Minister of Sports know in the future.
Yes, we, they have to be considered.
To be included.
Absolutely.
Thank you for that.
Yeah, man, small things.
In the meantime, Aaron, they're not included.
Yeah.
And it seems that no one cares that they will be included. Even the persons who are disability seems not to be advocating and say, hey, I should be included, therefore we need to postpone until they get included. They're willing to just wash the whole hand of it. This is typical of us. But I'm just saying that it is what it is.
Yeah, I don't think it's a matter of...
Next 10 years.
Are we complaining about the right things? The last thing I want to touch on before we transition to another conversation, from the article again, Thompson said he noted that they still have an issue with the New Providence Sports Council.
Michael.
I'm going to pause there. I'm going to declare my biases up front. I don't like how that sounds. Headed by the Sports Council, headed by Roy Colebrook, who was adamant that they still be a part of the Games Village at Breezes Resorts, Bahamas, just like everybody else. I mean, you said it, just like everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
Quote, we don't have the rooms to accommodate New Providence with the Family Islands teams because their team is the largest. No, you don't have the rooms because you didn't organize the rooms.
Mm.
That's it. That's why you don't have the rooms, because you didn't organize them. We just don't have the room space to accommodate their team, and I think that is creating a problem with them submitting their team. At the end of the day, Thompson said they believe that common sense will prevail. I got a little excited just now.
Common
I think you
sense.
Heard it. I think common sense should prevail, sir. The question is, do you know what side of the line that you're on? I think this is a valid issue.
The question is, should we be concerned?
Yes, I think we should be concerned. Because I would support Team New Providence in this protest. Pause for a second, right? He goes on and saying, we just don't have the room space to accommodate their team, and I think that is creating a problem with them submitting their team. If the New Providence team doesn't come, if any team doesn't come, and because they've registered complaints about the organizing, the organizers, have failed. See, this could be another situation where somebody's going to say, well, I don't know why my Cal team didn't show up. That's on them. No. You're supposed to know why they didn't show up. You were supposed to ensure that they were there. And the failure's on you.
But Aaron,
I just want to draw us back to the conversation we were having yesterday about the shanty towns and the ruling. A lot of people are very upset. Like, how come billboards and public notices weren't sufficient? They weren't sufficient because they didn't satisfy the criteria laid out in law, in policy.
Mm-hmm.
That's all. There's a policy that they were supposed to follow. And somebody said, maybe not like that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure that happened somewhere. They have the billboard and they get put up. I don't know these people's name. There was a policy laid out and all they had to do was follow it.
Mm-hmm. But my concern is, I can understand a Michael team not showing up to the Bahama Games.
Because they ain't got no gas in Acklands?
I can understand that.
Yeah.
But I can't understand a New Providence team not showing up. Something is wrong with that. So the idea that this late in the game, that the New Providence team has yet to submit the names of their athletes.
Look, I think they have the names of the athletes. I think this conversation has been going on for a long time, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. I reference one of the only other articles. There's only two articles I've seen so far. I referenced the article months back.
Mm-hmm.
The concerns have been raised and are on the table. The organizing committee apparently are, from their comments in the paper, were aware of it.
Mm-hmm.
Were aware that the New Providence Council wanted to ensure that there was not just equality, but equity, mm-hmm. and that all teams were living in the same space, had access to the same amenities, and were in the same environment when they go to competition.
What type of amenities do they get in the athlete space? I assume free food and whatever else.
Well, I think room and board, and maybe access to the pool, if there's a pool. That's it, right?
Locker.
But that's not it's not about the amenities. It's about the team building. It's about the atmosphere leading into the games, right? And it's about equality and equity. And it's about understanding that the best way to ensure that athletes show up to the games is to have them in the same accommodations. I was going to use the word rank, but I'm not in the army, so I can't do that, right? But it stinks of a lack of empathy. Mm. Like, apparently, we got the smarts, but apparently we don't care enough about people who are not in our personal situation to extend our capacity for thought beyond 5 p.m.
Wouldn't it make sense, you know, like the Olympics, they build, accommodation for the players. Do we have any accommodation around the sports stadium? Because we do have a fair bit of land from what I can see there. Wouldn't that make sense?
Well,
that we have even if it was like a hotel mm-hmm. where, 100 rooms or whatever.
You mean like Bahama? That's close.
Not as fancy, but if you go to Olympics where you just turn up as an athlete and you've got to find yourself an Airbnb, no.
I don't know.
Facilities for you.
So a couple of things. A part of it is being in the same place with the other athletes, mm-hmm. right? That's a part of it. I thought about what's the situation with the dorms at UB once the mm-hmm. summer session started, right?
Yeah.
Would that be sufficient?
To that building they were going to
You mean Clarence A. Bain building?
No, there was a building they were going to build for accommodation. I heard some amazing figure, like $100 million, to build a dorm for UB. Remember this was back?
Yes.
Yeah, I don't know
was
whatever
that
happened
way
to
back,
it.
Hold on, was that way back when the proposed prison was only going to cost $40 million? That's a long time ago. And I got a text that says, Aaron, y'all talking about disabilities and inclusion and deaf and hearing impaired people cannot tune into your show.
We're talking about the Bahama Games, though.
I know. I just wanted to put that out there.
Yeah, but I appreciate the texter.
Yeah.
They raise a serious point.
I'm not sure what
I had to do with the Bahama Games.
Yeah, but what I want them to do is I want them to send me links to apps, applications, and software that we can use to ensure that people who are hearing impaired mm-hmm. can listen to the radio. Send them to me, mm-hmm. and I can talk about them, texter. Do that for me.
Okay.
That's all.
Investigation.
Yeah. Send it some. We about solutions.
Mm-hmm.
We about solutions. When I'm sitting under the shade of your words, I want some solutions to ponder upon. The paper said you had to know not to build poor excuse, and when they have their secret meeting, it is be well attended. They is hear that. Dear texter, once again, please don't encourage anybody to lose their money. There's a procedure set out in writing. It's documented, it's recorded in multiple places that shows you exactly the process for giving notice. You're required to follow that process
mm-hmm.
or you didn't do it properly. That's all. That's very simple. You sound like someone who can tell me that you could turn right on red and left on red. Morning, so what day will be conspiracy day since y'all cancel it today? I mean, today may be conspiracy day, Dexter. You just not... Looking, you didn't put on your tinfoil hat. If you had put on your tinfoil hat, you could hear the conspiracies within the conversation. But I'm joking, Texter, we are going to get to conspiracy day, just maybe not today. Producer, let's go to a break. And when we get back from the break, maybe I'll throw a conspiracy out there, one or two, but I really wanted to talk about the Human Rights Committee. Maybe that's another conspiracy in and of itself. You never know. We'll be right back. You're on the clock. Stay tuned.
July 7th through the 15th. Get ready for inter-island sporting competition in the spirit of unity and camaraderie. Which island is gonna win? It's the Bahamas Games. Our nation, our talent, our games. And look out for the V Games crew coming to your island soon. For more information, call 809-1242 or visit thebahamasgames.org.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
The new Guardian Radio app is here. Listen live to all our Guardian Radio shows and live video stream select programs in our studio. Get information about Guardian Radio shows and our hosts. Send messages, including text, email, and even call. All from our amazing new Guardian Radio app. Download it free today in your App Store for your Apple device or Play Store for your Android device. The all-new and improved Guardian Radio app.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, quality.
Good morning and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. I don't like getting riled by my callers, so we are going to talk about conspiracies, maybe 10 minutes, 11 minutes, if my producer will allow me, to talk about conspiracy theories. And so the questions I wanted to ask is, what's, you know, the conspiracy theory that you believe in the most? Which conspiracy theory is your conspiracy fact? Right? Which conspiracy theory is your conspiracy fact? Can you tell us a conspiracy theory that you believed in that has been proven and has been accepted, right, as truth by wider society, even if only a smaller portion? I got one to start with.
Yeah.
I got a something. The Trinidadian people are upset at the Bahamas, right? It's just a conspiracy. It's just conspiracy theory. I went to Trinidad and they serve doubles there, and I love doubles. Doubles are awesome. They're for vegan people, chickpea curry, Chardon Benny, tamarind sauce, slight pepper, and it's wonderful. When you come to the Bahamas and you order doubles, right? They swing in you. It's a conspiracy. They say Junkanoo can't be better than Carnival, and we come here to show y'all. See, here's what the thing is. They call it doubles because it comes with two barra. Barra is the name of the bread, the chickpea flour patty, like chickpea flour roti they make. It come with two barra and chickpea curry, Chardon Benny, tamarind. How come in the Bahamas? Oh, and it's the best part. Last time I went to Trinidad, the price of doubles went up from 5 TT to 6 TT. Mind you, at that point, 7 TT was $1, $1, right? So it's still under a dollar. And so while people were ready to protest, I was still celebrating because it still only cost less than a dollar. And I was prepared to pay $1 for that, $2 even. And I was buying doubles. I was a boss, a doubles boss. I come back to Nassau now. First event, I see the people them serving doubles. First of all, the doubles cost $10 and more. Mind you, in Trinidad, the thing costs less than a dollar. You know, in the Bahamas, it costs $10 and more. Fine. It's cuisine from a foreign country. I could kind of understand that. How come you selling me doubles with one barra? You got to call it a singles. You cannot call it a doubles if it only have one barra. You all thought we didn't know that, Trini people. We know that. Now, Here's where the conspiracy comes in. They tell me it's Bahamians doing it to other Bahamians, and it's not Trini people. And I want to say, I don't care who it is. What I do know is this is an attack on the Bahamian psyche, and I do not like it. That's my conspiracy. This is a real political movement and somebody trying to destabilize relations between the Bahamas and Trinidad by selling doubles with only one barra for 10 times what it costs in Trinidad, where you get two barra and actual Shadow and Benny. That's my conspiracy, Mark.
It's a good one.
Yes!
I was thinking more of, the past 3 years. Remember back in 2019, you know, when a certain pandemic started,
yeah,
there are a lot of people who were considered conspiracy theorists because they said that there were going to be vaccine passports, right? Yeah. That was denied by the administration at the time. Also, the people who said there would be mandates, that was denied by the administration at the time.
Oh, yeah.
There were a lot of other things that that turned out to be true.
Right.
I
like this example. It's right in our modern time, right?
Mm-hmm, that's a modern time. I mean, there are older ones. You know, if you go back to 9/11, what's interesting, you know, conspiracy theorists say, do the math. There were three buildings and two planes. How did building number 7 come down?
In fact, I was
in a controlled demolition.
I was watching the BBC. I was watching mm-hmm. BBC when the report of the collapse of yeah. the third building was being yeah. broadcast. And we heard her, I saw this woman and heard her talking about that building having already, it fell uh-huh. already, it was on the ground, and the building fell right behind her while she's talking live.
And the owner then, in a YouTube clip, said they made a decision to pull the building, which is mm-hmm. interesting. But anyway, so that was a conspiracy theorist. It's now recently found, just recently, last few weeks, they found that two of the bombers were CIA operatives or were controlled by CIA handlers. And mm-hmm. this has actually come out. So that was a conspiracy back then. Now it's now turning into more of a fact, right?
Mm-hmm. Mr. Fox Hillman, mm-hmm. producer, go to this call, please. Dear caller, I've invited people to call into the show. We're talking about conspiracies. Do not say anything that would cause us to be banished from the airwaves yeah. forever. In fact, I would like you to tell the producer what you want to talk about, but he don't deserve that. Good morning, caller. You're on the clock.
Yes, good morning, Ms. Green.
Good morning, sir. How you doing?
And good morning to Mr. Palmer. I'm okay for now, Aaron. Good morning, Mr. Mark Palmer. But you know, Aaron, firstly, I don't deal with theories. I deal with facts.
Yes, sir.
We have seen the revelations. I don't need to discuss it. But what I'd like you to bring to the forefront, of course, Mr. Mark Palmer is correct about Building 7. I saw the literature. I saw the video. It was the chief fireman, I think, who came on and said they made the decision to pull Building 7. But then we know it was all about finance. We knew that just in looking at the implosion, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, anyone who did chemistry, you know what black smoke means, right?
Tell
black
them.
Smoke means the fuel is rich and there's not enough air.
Uh-huh.
And so then I was trying to figure out, how would a building designed to withstand these paradigms collapse? No, yes, no, perhaps. I didn't want to move on to that. But remember, conspiracy theories was invented by the CIA in order to discredit people who are thinking. There are a lot of conspiracy facts. Now, what I want to throw in there, different from the COVID-19 and the depopulation agenda, right,
mm-hmm.
is the fact that a Catholic priest is in litigation. I disclosed the fact that under the WHO, in conjunction with the Red Cross, I don't know who, but I guess the Red Cross was doing their job unwittingly, but they went into Kenya in the guise of giving a tetanus shot, or what it was, mm-hmm. Mark Palmer could remind me, in the guise of giving the tetanus shot to adolescent Kenyan girls. But what they found out was the tetanus shot contained HCG, human chorionic gonadotropin.
Mm-hmm.
Anyone should know what it is. That's a hormone that stops from getting pregnant, so once the body senses it, you won't get pregnant. So
oh,
it was
yeah.
really a secret sterilization agenda.
In fact,
like millions of disco, it's online. This has nothing to do with me. There are many conspiracy facts that will be dismissed, even when the doctor disclosed the ingredients in the vaccines. I guess they're all conspiracy theories because that's what they want you to believe. You have to be subterfuged into the world that they want you to believe. And the only way the devil could get strong is by lying to us. He has deceived everybody. Once you get a big house and a big car, you're happy. That's a big deception right there. Bless up.
Thank you. Thank you, 52. Mark Lummer, you want to respond to 52?
No, no, that's fine, though. Go ahead.
Let me read some texts. Text there, conspiracy theories, Jamaica. I have another conspiracy theory. I'm not reading that. Sorry. Jamaican me mad with that texter. Another texter. Thank you very much. It says the cases. Dear texter, I don't know who you're talking to. It is very fascinating what you're saying. So a lot of those could be conspiracy theories, but I can't even read them out loud. Here is a conspiracy theory that I could put on the table, though. Our former Prime Minister, Hubert Ingram, has a confidential informant number. Mm-hmm. I think it's a conspiracy fact. It's been published, it's been broadcast, it's been talked about. Mm-hmm. But a lot of people still say that that's just a conspiracy, right? That mm-hmm. ain't real, that's not true. It's a conspiracy fact.
And also that, you know, a certain neighbor of ours is taping all our conversations, all our WhatsApp illegally. That's also considered.
What's the program
conspiracy
called? Small Get? SMOLAGET, I think. Or SMOLGET is the name of the program. Yep. And that, for a long time, that was just a conspiracy theory. You're mad. Mm-hmm. And now it's conspiracy fact. It's wild. There's another.
But you know why they're so. Why we need to get to the bottom of some of these things? Mm-hmm. Because when we look at 9/11, it led to that war. It
right.
led to a massive war.
The question of weapons of mass destruction.
Yeah, the weapons of mass destruction. And what you find historically, you have sort of cataclysmic events which then force war. There was the sinking of the Lusitania. There was the Tomkin event. And they were all proven to be considered to be false flags now. People consider them to have been false flags events to lead to a war.
Right.
But at that time, they were considered to be a conspiracy theory. So, but we do need to get down to, and I don't think we ever will in many cases.
Nord Stream Pipeline.
Mm-hmm.
Very recent story.
Mm-hmm. You're right.
World-respected journalist.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
Seymour Hersh.
Right? Released his work, his investigation into it. And it appears as if everyone in the U.S. media machine has conspired to ignore it.
Well, what was amazing, the UN had a resolution to do an independent investigation on this explosion. And guess what? They said they voted against it. So that's just amazing, isn't it? So that means something seriously went on there that we're not being told about.
Mark, that's the music.
All right.
I really wanted to get into the Bahama Games conversation because I think the people who are working to put together the event, the athletes that have been training, the coaches, the family members who have been supporting the training and the preparation, right? These people deserve the best. And we, the Bahamian people, deserve the best. And I think it's important to note that for the 50th Independence Celebration, we expect no excuses.
Mm-hmm. We've been waiting a long time.
Right. You need to figure out how you're going to accommodate the people participating in the event and not the politicians that have come to prop it up. That's all. Anyway, we're all out of time. Thank you, Mark. I see you have on your work sheet.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't know if you're able to stay for the rest of the conversation. But that's okay because you came and charmed me this morning with your one half a pair in your fridge. And Mr. Newry, thank you for joining me. Come and charm me this morning, which I done eat six mango for the Fox Hill self. You guys stay tuned. Guardian Radio AM with Cecil Newry is up next. Have a great day, Bahamas.